Goliat Lale. You're listening to Radio UPF here on radioaf.se, and it's time for our second debate for the show. The information age has resulted in more and more personal data than ever being in digital form. Since Edward Snowden revealed to the world about the NSA's PRISM surveillance program, the issue of internet privacy and confidentiality has intensified the debate. Should governments be allowed to monitor online communications in the name of security? How worried should we be about the level of access private companies have to our personal data? We have Bianca Danryd, who will argue that a citizen's right to online privacy is inviolable, and Takeshi Stokko will argue that some privacy needs to be sacrificed for security. And as usual, we will start with 1 minute each to present your arguments. So, Bianca, do you want to start?
Yes, I think I probably ended up with the easier one to argue. I mean, if you can basically argue anything on the basis of human rights and personal freedoms, and in this case, I argue that the freedom to privacy on the internet is important for a number of reasons. For one, as Edward Snowden says, you never know when you're going to need your rights. So it doesn't matter if you are a good citizen that follows the law and abides everything. The internet is a cesspool of misinformation, and the internet cannot be a place where justice is carried out. And I think that the amount of surveillance that we are under now is like not only like terrifying, but also it's terrifying, and it should be of huge concern to everybody, regardless of who they are, because there is already a hierarchical relationship between, you know, the state and its citizens, and the citizens should have a right to privacy on the internet. And there are different ways to approach the debate between Europe and the US, but we'll go into that. So I can...
Takeshi.
Yeah, I mean, as Bianca said, certain rights and freedoms are fundamental, and people are rightly concerned that their right to privacy might be violated by the monitoring of online communication that's going on. She's proposing that this shouldn't happen, but what I'm saying is, what about when it comes to law enforcement, prevention of terrorism, for example? I don't believe that authorities should be powerless to monitor potential criminal activity, and I don't think that Bianca's going to argue that to you either. And so I'm not either proposing a free-for-all whereby anyone's data is available to everyone to look at as they will, but I think there's got to be a balance found. So we weigh the concerns about personal privacy with the need to protect societies from those who would break the law and who would do harm. So we have a debate that comes down in many ways to trust. We have doubts about what people are doing with our information, whether they be governments or big companies. So I feel that if we can ensure strict controls on who has the power to monitor online data and under which conditions, we can find the solution that respects personal privacy and serves as a functional tool for the protection of our societies.
I think that a huge issue with that in the United States is that, okay, the PRISM program, which was launched by the NSA in 2007, that was done underneath a Protect America Act, and that was under the Bush administration. This whole launching of surveillance was... like it was begun under the premise of protecting America is super dangerous because it's not clear who is being protected and who's being protected from what. And I think that it's safe to say that no one has been protected from this kind of activity since its launch. I don't think that any kind of terrorism has been...
It's very difficult because, like I said, it comes down a bit to trust. There was a parliamentary hearing with one of the heads of MI5 in the UK last year where he said that 34 terror attacks had been foiled by that organisation between 2005 and 2013 by what he called active detection and intervention. We don't know what that means, but we can assume that it means some kind of electronic monitoring, electronic surveillance. And we kind of have to take their word for it, that... we kind of have to trust the authorities to some extent that they're going to protect us and that the work that they're doing necessarily involves some kind of monitoring of online communications.
You seem to have a quite different view. Like, is there a trade-off between security and privacy?
I don't think that there has to be a trade-off. I think that if the government says, oh, we're doing this to protect you and we don't have equal footing with them over what their activities are, then there's no reason for us to trust them. if there's already a hierarchical relationship between the state and citizens, it doesn't make any sense. Like, even if we demanded them to be as equally transparent and they actually abided that, it would still be an unequal footing because we are citizens and the government can do whatever the government can do what the government wants to do.
But I'm actually for more freedom of information in that regard, in the sense that things like the responsibility or the obligation of governments to release data to citizens when they ask for it, when they ask for information on what the government has been engaged in, I think that's a really good thing. And I think monitoring is really important. Another area in which tracking of online activities can be useful, as well as fighting terrorism, is also fighting corruption. We can make this big data work for us. We can say banks that are transferring funds illicitly to governments, to other countries, money laundering, these kind of things, they can be tracked electronically now. And that's one thing that you can't do if you allow the internet to go dark.
But how can we be sure that corruption will be exposed if it's not in their interest to do so, to expose themselves?
That's why I'm saying that, I mean, I don't think we reach the solution by shutting everything down. What I mean is that we need to open it up even more, that citizens should equally be allowed to watch what their government does. To take one example, I know that in Estonia, for example, a lot of citizens' records are kept public, they're online, and they can be accessed under certain conditions by certain government departments. But what happens is that leaves a trace, so any citizen has the right to know who's been looking into their data. And I think that would be a good compromise, where you have the right to be informed if, for any reason, a government agency has been looking up your personal information.
And that seems to be the direction that's been taken in the EU, but it's not quite the same in the US. Like, in the EU, they have put forth the bill of the right to be forgotten. And I think that can also have problems of interpretation. For example, they say that you have the right to be forgotten only if the information that has been posted is irrelevant or incorrect. And they can, like, who determines what is irrelevant?
That's why, I think that we might be agreeing on this, that the right to be forgotten kind of can be used for censorship purposes. And I think that the opening up of the internet to allow, I mean, we're going into a slightly different debate with censorship here, but that the right to be forgotten falls kind of under that remit. I think it's another bad thing, whereas if we're taking steps to shut down the internet to make things more private, more small, then it allows for much more exploitation of the darker side of the internet.
Okay, thank you, Bianca and Takeshi. That was the last words we had time for. But stay with us, we'll be right back.